WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the Democratic Convention has lots of people here who are going to be interesting to talk to. And one of them now who joins us is Jim Dean. He is the brother of Howard Dean, and he runs Democracy for America, which is billed as the largest progressive political action group with over 750,000 members nationwide. And I was just talking about all those voters around America. Well, you may remember that the Democracy for America campaign has long advocated for a 50-state strategy. And this year, with Howard Dean as the chair of the DNC, and honestly, with Obama being as flush in money as he is and doing well in the primaries and caucuses in some states that Democrats don't generally win in November, the 50-state strategy or something approaching it is actually a reality in the Democratic Party. So let's talk about this with Jim Dean, chair of Democracy for America. Mr. Dean, thanks very much for coming on WNYC with us here at the convention. Hello.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me on.
So tell us about the 50-state strategy and how close to it you think Senator Obama is coming with this campaign.
Well, he certainly has done an incredible job. Our organization is very separate from the DNC, but we're about citizen empowerment. We're about helping people take responsibility over the political process. And, you know, Obama really took a lot of the tools that were sort of begun in the 2004 campaign and Howard's campaign and has really just taken this to an incredible level of organization and especially empowering people to get involved in politics all over this country. And the other thing that has to be said is that the activists that are doing this stuff are far savvier and far smarter about how to be effective in politics. So, it's going well. Of course, you never really know until the final results are in, and obviously we're going to work very, very hard to get him elected. I really appreciate the work that Senator Clinton is doing on this. I've been in her camp before in 2004 and very grateful to that. But, I think it's important that this be a national party, a national movement, and a national campaign. And he's certainly, Obama's certainly doing that and spending the money and putting his money where his mouth is on it.
Democracy for America endorsed Obama in his Senate bid in 2004, but my understanding is you did not take a position for anyone in the primaries. Do you think that Obama has continued to represent the progressive policies that the DFA stands for?
Well, I'm not going to say he represents everything, and I'm not going to say that we agree with everything he's done. We're a coalition party, and I'm very, very proud of that. But there are a lot of issues, particularly FISA, which we fought very hard on, that we're going to continue to fight on. But right now, our focus is on getting this ticket elected, on getting these fine congressional candidates all over the country elected, and state legislators, because, that's what we have to do between now and November, and that's the biggest thing that we can do to change this country. And then, we're going to go back to these issues. Health care's, for at the end of the day, it's not about who gets elected, but about getting health care taken care of, about doing something about Iraq, about doing something about funding Social Security and Medicare. Those aren't going to go away. FISA's not going to go away. Telecom immunity's not going to go away. But we know we need to get, if we're going to change this, we got to get these folks into office, including Senator Obama.
One of the main reasons that I think so many Democratic Party leaders came out for Obama rather than Clinton or anyone else during the primaries is that they see the Obama organization as planting seeds for future growth in the Democratic Party. And that was partly because of his fundraising prowess, partly because of his attractiveness to young voters, but also the way he was able to use new technology to plant seeds, to plant grassroots organizations everywhere in America during the primaries. I think that's also why he was perfectly happy to see the primaries continue until the end, even though he had pretty much locked it up before June 3rd. And it seems to me that it is this very idea of a 50-state strategy that has the Democratic Party so happy about the Barack Obama candidacy, frankly, win or lose against John McCain. How much of that do you agree with?
Well, I agree with almost all of it. I would say that it's important to me that this party be a national party, be a 50-state party. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's always, this is a what have you done for me lately business. And I think we've got to win in November to really cement that as part of the culture of this party. And whether we win or lose, we should still have it. But, you know, winning obviously is going to really make the 50-state strategy a culture, you know, a cultural icon of the party. So it's very important to me for that reason, as well as many others, that Senator Obama be elected president of the United States.
But lay out this rationale a little bit more for us in states that are impossible for Democrats to win, Mississippi and Alabama, and, you know, you could name anyone that you want. Why spend presidential campaign resources in parties that you know you're going to lose? What does that accomplish? In states that you know you're going to lose, what does that accomplish?
But Brian, I could tell you from personal experience, we did two trainings in Mississippi in the last 2 years. We did a training in Birmingham, Alabama. This year, we've Oklahoma, Texas, a lot of those states where everyone says Democrats can't win. The thing is, if you don't show up and start running, you're always going to lose. But you've got to start planting those seeds. There are plenty of good Democrats in these states, and they're doing great work, and we've just got to be out there supporting. And if you empower them to do this stuff, you'll see things change.
Now, in February, Democracy for America launched Voters Decide 2008. That was a petition at that time urging superdelegates to vote the way their constituents voted. What effect do you think this had?
Well, I think it was part of a long focus on the superdelegates, which had not been focused on before, to really understand the process better, but also, more importantly, to understand that there was going to be a chain of accountability between the voters and what they did. And I think that's fair. This wasn't an anti-anything campaign. It was really to highlight and understand, you know, have the superdelegates understand that there was going to be an accountability chain and that there was a lot of people that wanted them to support the will of the voters, which I think is fair.
What are some of the states that are in your sights right now that have not been Democratic states, but that as you pursue this 50-state strategy, you think are particularly interesting right now?
Well, Brian, I'm still a little naive. I've only been in this business 6 years, so I still think we can win every race. But if you want to narrow it down a little bit there, we have some great candidates in North Carolina, Kay Hagan for Senate, but also Roy Carter and Larry Kissel, both who are running for Congress, and that's going to change a lot of the voting in North Carolina. There's some great candidates in Florida, Joe Garcia, Annette Tedeo, and Chris Jennings, to name three, who are running for Congress, who are going to help change the complexion that Florida has been in terms of Republican to Democrat. You know, we've had some good campaigns in Mississippi, and obviously they had a very big win for Congress. I think things can happen there, although I'm not sure they're going to happen in 2008. But certainly North Carolina and Florida are two states. I would also say we have terrific candidates here in Colorado that are running, and you could see that change as well. And New Mexico and Nevada, I both believe have a very, very good chance of going for Obama. And those are traditionally red states, but a lot of this stuff, again, is changing. And it's because people want to see change, but it's also because Democrats are in there taking advantage of this and organizing and showing up. And that's why, you know, the 50-state strategy, the DNC, the training work that we're doing, and especially the work that Obama's campaign is doing is so important.
I know you got to go in a minute, but do you need to be a different kind of Democrat to run in the states that you were just talking about? And at the same time, that you're advocating that, you're from, you know, the progressive wing of the party, what your brother called the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party.
Right.
So can you be the kind of Democrat who can win in North Carolina, Mississippi, Colorado, and at the same time be the kind of Democrat that you are with your values?
You know, I think they can, because a lot of this value stuff has been marketed in terms of divisiveness. You know, it's Northeastern liberals versus, you know, Western or Southern conservatives or whatever, you know, candidates have to reflect their district. I mean, that's they're there to represent the voters there. But I think if you see a guy like Roy Carter running in North Carolina in a traditionally Republican district, he does represent those battles. I call him a progressive, but the fact is he also represents the values of his district about fair taxation, about minimum wage, being hiked, about giving opportunities to people who are working for a living. You know, those are all the things that we embrace. Is it every single issue? No. Is everybody on the same page of that? No. But then again, we're a coalition party, and we're okay with that. I think this party's grown up enough to withstand those issues where we don't all agree on, and I think that's part of, again, what empowers the voters to go towards Democrats rather than Republicans.
Jim Dean, the chairman of Democracy for America, and I know you must get sick of people saying it, but also the brother of Howard Dean, and you sound like your brother. This is the first time I've spoke to you. Thanks a lot for coming on with us. We really
appreciate
it.
Brian, appreciate you having me on.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.